The Sermon on the Mount. I did not get my, TJ's not here today, and I did not get him my PowerPoint in time for him to make that for me. So you're going to have to look in your Bible today. In Matthew chapter 5 is where we will begin. Matthew chapter 5. And as you're turning there, we're going to be talking about you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Years ago, probably 20 years ago, not long after we moved to Tillamook, my family and I went up to St. Helens and began exploring around there. And so we found on the south side of Mount St. Helens what was called the Ape Caves. And these, so we went to the Ape Caves, and there were these lava tubes. One was a quarter of a mile long and if in one direction. The other one was 3 miles long in the other direction. We chose to go the 3 mile loop underground. And you talk about dark. I have never experienced dark like I experienced it at the Ape Caves. It was so dark that it was, we had flashlights. And it was so dark, it was almost like it was, the darkness was absorbing our light. It was crazy. But as we, as Cynthia and I and Micah and Crystal were walking through the caves, I'm sure it's different now. I'm sure there's guides and different things now. But then you had to be careful where you stepped because there were these crevices in the rocks that if you fell, you couldn't see the bottom. They would just keep going down. And so we were climbing over boulders and climbing over different things and squeezing along the wall like this with our flashlights. And Crystal, we got halfway through, probably about a mile and a half in, and Crystal said, "I'm done. I quit. I'm not going any further." And it's like, what do you do? I mean, you either got to go back or you got to go forward. You can't just stop. So I want you to, so we're talking about you are the light of the world. I want you right now, I want you to close your eyes. And there's still light coming through, so I want you to put your hands over your eyelids. And don't take your hands away from your eyes, nor open your eyes until I tell you. So actually, I'm going to be reading from Genesis 1, 1 through 3. And at the end of verse 3, it says, "And there was light." And whenever I say that, then you can take your hands away. So listen as I read. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." Where did the light come from? If you read the Genesis account and believe it like I do, the sun was not created until day 4. So where did the light come from? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And I believe that when God said, "Let there be light," Jesus' glory just shone throughout the expanse of the universe. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God said, let there be light. So Jesus lights up the physical world. But not only does he light up the physical world, he came into the world to bring light into a spiritual darkness. In John 1 through 5, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, in the beginning, again, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, talking about Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When Jesus came, he came to bring spiritual understanding. Understanding about heavenly things. Understanding about who we are in relationship to God the Father. He came to give us wisdom of the Almighty God. But when he was here, very few people comprehended or perceived the one that was in their presence. And you know, today, there are very few people who comprehend and recognize the Savior for who he is. Jesus is the light. But those who live in darkness often don't perceive or recognize the one that is among them. We need to understand light not only from a physical standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint as well. Now, when we talk about light in the spiritual, it refers to righteousness, it refers to holiness, it refers to blamelessness, it refers to sinlessness. Jesus was that person. Jesus was the light. There was no darkness in him. So comparing the light with the darkness, the person who walks in sin is walking in darkness. Okay? And so Jesus is not only the physical light of the world, he's the spiritual light of the world as well. So light illuminates and light exposes. Have you ever lost anything and you're wondering where is it? And then you get a flashlight and you find what you were looking for because the light was able to expose what you had been looking for. See, what a light does, it exposes sin in our life. The spiritual light, Jesus exposes sin in our life, and oftentimes people don't like to hear about that. Okay? We can talk about everybody else's sin, but don't talk about my sin. Or the world in which we're living in now is that no matter what you do, you make up your own rules. And so there's no such thing as sin per se in the world in which we live. However, we don't get to make that determination, do we? God makes that determination. He's the one who says what sin is and what sin isn't. But the light also illuminates. The light illuminates who Jesus is. The light illuminates his word. As you're reading God's word, the light shines on the word and we're able to receive it and apply it to our life because we're able to understand what it's saying and we're able then to take it off the page and put it into our lives. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Have you ever tried to find your way through a dark room? When we were growing up, there were 7 children in our family, so I never did get a room to myself. Always roomed with someone. One day, Nalty and I were rooming together. He was number 3 of 7 children. I'm number 5. He and I were rooming together. And we lived in a house where Dad had added a room on this end of the house, and the bathroom was way down here, down the hallway, through the kitchen. And so Nalty got up one evening. Joking, he said, that's the first time I ever realized my nose was longer than my arms. But there was a big commotion, and you know, I got up to see what's going on, and he had run into that door. Another time I was rooming with a different brother. This brother liked to rearrange things. So I went to bed one night and got in our bed. Now, the beds, it used to be this way, and when you get up, the doorway is kind of like right here. And you go out and then go down the hallway. Anyway, he turned the beds around this way. So I got up in the middle of the night, found the doorknob, opened it, took about 3 steps, and bam, I hit the wall right here. I thought, man, what's going on? I turned around, and I went this way, and bam, there was a bar that hit my head right here. I found a light switch and realized I was in the closet. When you are not walking in the light, you're going to trip, you're going to stumble, and you're going to fall, and you're going to hurt yourself. Okay? Jesus, it's always good to turn the light on, right? It's always good to turn the light on so you don't trip and fall, especially if somebody rearranges the room. So I have a question, and probably this may not apply to you. If it does, there are a lot of people who are stumbling through life. Do you ever feel like that you're just stumbling through life with no purpose? Do you ever feel like, man, I just wish somebody would show me the way? You don't have to live like that, because Jesus is the light. And when we give our lives to Jesus, that light lives within us, and Jesus shows the way. Miss Beverly was sharing with me this past week about an Indian friend of hers who shared her testimony. And when that friend came to know Christ as her personal Lord and Savior, she explained it like this. She said, it was as if prior to that, I had been walking in a black and white movie. But when I received Jesus, everything went to color. And I remember looking back on my personal experience with Jesus Christ, that's exactly what it felt like to me too. Things became more vivid. Colors became more vivid. And I began to enjoy life like I'd never enjoyed it before. Because the Lord had shined light upon me. Light makes hidden things apparent. Light takes away the veil. Most of you who are here and have been married, you ladies have wore a veil over your face. I tried to go online and figure out why that was. Do you want to know why? What I found? In Rome, they started this in Rome, and it was to keep the evil spirits away. So, I'm glad. Yeah, don't want to raise it. Yeah, that's all right. So, I thought it was to, you know, hide the beauty until your husband, you know, had the opportunity to give you your first kiss or whatever kiss that may have been. And so I thought that's what the veil was for, but that, according to Wikipedia, and of course you can trust them, that was not what I found. Anyway, the light takes away the darkness. The light takes away the veil. The light keeps things from being obscured, and we are then able to experience not the drabness of this world, but the beauty of this world. The world is trying to blend light with darkness and make everything gray so that no one notices the darkness. Many of you wear glasses. Sometimes my glasses get dirty, and I don't realize it until I take them off, and oh man, they're dirty now. I better clean them. And we can go through life, everybody's checking their glasses now. And we can go through life with dirty glasses, with the inability to see things clearly until we allow the light to shine on that area of our life. And then we can clean our life up, and then we can walk in more and more light. The world is trying to get us to walk in shaded areas. Everybody's just blend in and accept my sinful behavior. And some Christians are buying into that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, and then we're getting to our text now, verses 14 through 16. Jesus says, do you remember who he was talking to on this mount, the Sermon on the Mount? Do you remember who he was talking to? His disciples. He had called his disciples up to him. This is what he says. He says, now you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And I believe if Jesus were here today, he would say that to each one of us. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If you think about that statement, you are the light of the world, it's almost unbelievable, because that's who Jesus said he was. You, you are the light of the world. So let me ask you a question. If the world is going to get any light, who is that going to come from? That's going to come from us. Jesus is not here in bodily form, but he is within us. When you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you immediately became a torch. You became a light. Now, if the world doesn't get it from Christians, get the light from Christians, where are they going to get it from? They're not going to get it. You know, there are some people who think education is going to bring light. Okay, and I'm for education. I think we need to, you know, I think we need to learn how to read and write and do arithmetic and, you know, they're doing the computers and stuff. Now, I think that's all great. I think that's important. But that's not the end all. Because that's not going to bring light. Scripture says that the wisdom of men is foolishness to God. Okay? The wisdom of men is foolishness to God. And so therefore, wisdom is not going to save you. Education's not going to save you. Only Jesus can save you. Okay? Some people think religion can save you. A lot of people think religion is going to save you. Well, I belong to this kind of church. Well, that's great. But not all churches bring light. Okay? And so, your religion is not going to save you. It's only Jesus Christ who's going to save you. People think philosophy is going to save you, where you learn more and more about less and less. But philosophy doesn't save you. Neither does science save you. I mean, there are astronomy doesn't save you. I mean, there's so much in our universe that we're discovering through all of the telescopes and through all of the satellites and everything else, and it's amazing. But knowing all there is to know about the universe, which we will never know, and knowing all there is about science, about astronomy, I mean, it's interesting. I like to hear those things. I like to hear that there are like 10 billion galaxies in the cup of the Big Dipper. I like to hear that. And I like to hear that there are billions upon billions upon billions of stars inside each galaxy and that God knows each star by name. That's amazing to me. But having all of that knowledge is not going to save me. It does not bring light. Only Jesus can bring light. And so when we are the light of the world and we are bringing light to a darkened world, sometimes we run up against people who think education, philosophy, science, astronomy, religion is the light. It's going to save them. And that is not the case. It says in our focal passage, don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't hide your light under a bushel. We need to live it. Live it out. So when you go to work, do your coworkers know that you're a Christian? When you are out in the world, Do they know by the what, not only the things that you, the way you act, but the things you say? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. That's a scary passage of Scripture. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. Thousands in Tillamook don't know Jesus. And I believe many of them are looking for the light. So we can't hide it. We need to share it. What is a light used for? Yeah, to get rid of the darkness so you can see where you're going. So if you are the light, why would you hide that from other people? Somebody said something, but okay, so they'll stumble. We're not to hide our light. I think the reason we many times hide our light is because we're afraid of the darkness. And we're afraid of what the darkness will say or do. He also says that we're not to, that our light is like a city set on a hill. That's talking about us collectively. Did you know that we have more light collectively than we do individually? And Scripture says, and when we're talking about the city set on a hill, that's us. That's us as a church. So, how many of you have your phones?
Okay. This is a trick question.
This is, I brought mine for I want to do an illustration using your phones. Larry, would you turn off the lights? It's not going to show up very well here. Because we have so much wonderful sunshine today, I'm not complaining. Hallelujah. All right, if you have your phone, open it up so that you can get light. Some of you have one of these. Okay. Didn't bring your phone. That's okay. I didn't tell you to bring your phone. I turned mine on rattle, I mean vibrator. When we are, here's what I want you to do. Every time you pick up your phone and the light comes on, I want you to remember that you're the light. Okay? I want you to remember that you're the light. You can turn the lights back on. If we were in a darkened place, that would really have caused us to be able to illuminate things. We are collectively, like I shared with you, more brilliant in our illumination than we are single. And so all of us need to be sharing our light with other people. It then also says, the next little phrase says, let your light so shine before men. It doesn't say make your light shine. It says let your light shine. Which means that your light is already within you. You can't create the light, can you? You can't create it. You're just a conduit of the light that's already within you. So how do you let your light shine? It's not your light. It's the light of Jesus Christ. So when you're filled with the Spirit of God, and we've been talking about that on Sunday nights, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, people see the light. And they want what you have. There are some, however, who run away from the light like a bunch of roaches. When we were in, when I lived in Mississippi, I don't know that we've had roaches in our home here. But in Mississippi, you could turn on the bathroom light at night, and I mean roaches would just go everywhere. And you wanted to turn on the bathroom light so that you wouldn't step on them. It is gross. It is nasty. And no matter what you did, you couldn't get rid of them. Couldn't get rid of them. They did not like the light. And there are some people that you're going to try to share the light with that's going to run away. They're not going to enjoy what you have to share with them. That's just life. When I was, my dad was a preacher, and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, one of us boys would have to go back over to the church and turn the lights out. And it was very common for whoever went for somebody else to try to scare them in the church, or as they were coming out of the church, screaming and hollering and, ah! Well, I determine I'm not going to be scared. When they do that, I'm expecting it. I'm not going to be scared. And so they couldn't scare me because I chose I'm not going to be scared. But there's a lot of people who are afraid of the darkness. But you know what? You can determine greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. And because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, I can choose not to be afraid of the dark. Many of us are afraid of the dark. We're afraid to shine our light in darkened places. But there are a lot of people who will be drawn to the light. There will those who be repelled, who will be repelled by the light, but there are others who will be drawn to the light. Then the last point is, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. It's not about you, is it? If you shed the light, they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's what it's all about, is bringing people into His kingdom. When we were walking through that lava tube, looking down in those crevices, I'm thinking there are many people who are falling into the abyss. There are many people who are still falling. That's got to be a fearful thing. To fall and fall and fall and fall and fall. In a very darkened place where there's no bottom, no hope, no life, but somebody has to bring them the light. Somebody has to bring the light. Will it be you? Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in us, what you've done through us. Lord, I thank you for the light that you have brought into our lives. And Lord, it is your light. It's not ours. And God, I pray that we would not be afraid of the dark. But Lord, we would continue to share you with those who don't know you. Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. But it's also about them knowing truth. And so, Lord, you said that we are the light of the world. We can shine lights here at church, and we can shine on other lights, but Lord, your desire is that we shine in a darkened world. So Father, I pray that we would not be afraid, but trust in you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.